Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with LearnVisualStudio.net. In this lesson, we're going to cover quite a few JavaScript language syntax items like variables, data types, operators, and expressions. So we have a lot of work to do. Let's go ahead and get started. Want to start off with our template. So let's go ahead and open that up. I'm going to right-click it and select Open with Notepad. If you don't see that option, then use one of the techniques that we used earlier, like opening up Notepad first and then dragging the template into Notepad. I have it set up so that I can right click and select Open with Notepad. That'll be a little bit of a shortcut for me. Feel free to add that shortcut if you'd like. All right, and so I'm going to change the title. Let's give ourselves a little more room here. All right, and we're also going to, in our head section, like we did before, all right, now that we've done all of our setup work, let's talk about variables. We saw this in the previous video, how we were able to create a variable using the var keyword. So here I'm able to create a bucket in the computer's memory called some value. At this point, some value has nothing inside of it. It's empty. It's undefined. If we want to put something in it, we can do something like this. We use the equal sign operator. That is the assignment operator so that I can assign a value to my variable that's called some value. Now later on in my program, I can change what's in my bucket, what's in my variable, by reassigning it. Here I'm going to change it to my friend's last name, Jaworski. And then I can read the value out of the bucket by simply referencing it by its name. In this case, I'm going to send to screen an alert some value. Let's save this as so we don't accidentally overwrite our template. That would be bad. All files. And here we want to do c9js05.html. All right, now let's look, double click, and we get a message box that says Jaworski. Great. All right, so let's go ahead and change our code. Now, we have a couple of options. I could just completely delete this code and start over from scratch. And that is definitely an approach we took in the first lesson. However, we can also comment out our code by just using two forward slashes in a row, like so. When we create code comments, we're basically telling the JavaScript compiler to ignore this line of code. Don't process it, just act like it never existed. Comments also have an added bonus that we can do something like this to remind ourselves of the purpose of a passage of code. First example, second example, and so on. And nothing we type, and we can use any English, we can even put references to web pages, and so on in there, and they will be completely ignored by JavaScript and by the HTML5 document object model as it's created. All right. There's also another way. If you have multiple lines of code that you need to comment out, let's go ahead and just get rid of all this for the moment. We can use a multi-line comment, and to do that, we use a forward slash and an asterisk that starts the comment out process. And then we want to make sure it lines up so it's visually appealing to us, and it denotes that all of this is commented out. We have to conclude that section with a star forward slash. So to begin the section of commented out code, forward slash star, and then to finish it, star or asterisk forward slash. And now all of this code will be ignored. All right, so that's the two ways that we can comment out code. Great. Now, for another example, up to this point, we just, in one line of code, declared a variable and then later on initialized its value or set its value. But we can do that all in one line of code like so. All in one step. And you can see it indeed works. All right, so now this is something, an idea that we're going to introduce right now, and then later on I'll come back and after we've got some more information under our belt, I'll explain a little bit further. You don't have to use the var keyword. The var keyword is used to denote that we want a function scoped variable. If we want our variable to be scoped at the global level, we can just leave off the var keyword. So I can create some value equals Tabor. And in this simple example, we'll see no change in the behavior of our application. However, when we start working with more complicated applications that involve multiple functions, and we re are relying on the scope of our variables to be honored, using the var keyword will become extremely important. Some would say that you should never use global variables at all, therefore you should always use the var keyword. So just keep in mind that there is, you will wit see some code out on the internet where people don't use the var keyword and just start referencing a variable name without first declaring it with the var keyword. That's because they are scoping it, whether they realize it or not, at the global level instead of a function or a local level. All right, we'll talk about that a little bit later once we've got some more information under our belt. For now, always use the keyword var when creating a variable. All right. Now, we used a nomenclature with a lowercase s for the first letter of the name of our variable. And then we used camel casing from that point on. So it looks like a camel where it ends and begins with a lowercase value, but then in between you might see capitalization throughout. And the reason for this, again, it is a naming convention. Programmers like to use conventions to convey to other programmers or even to remind themselves the purpose of a name of something. Using this lowercase s reminds you that this is a locally scoped variable. It's not to be considered global in its purpose. You can also start a variable using a underscore. So we could call this underscore some value or underscore capital S some value. We could also start with a dollar sign some value. Those are all legal, but you can't do this. Dollar sign space some space value. All right, that's illegal. All right, you might notice also in our previous code and then the code that we've written here that every line that I've written is ended with a semicolon. That's an end of statement character or end of statement operator. You can think of it sort of like a period at the end of a sentence in English. It's a complete thought, and so you communicate that complete thought to the JavaScript compiler by using a semicolon. You could actually fit multiple commands on a single line and separate them each with a semicolon if you wanted to, but that makes your code a little bit unreadable. Now, one of the big departures of JavaScript from other programming languages is that the data type is inferred by the value that's been assigned to the variable. So, for example, in this particular case, since we initialize the value or the variable some value as a literal string of text, as denoted by the open and closing double quotes, some value will be of data type string. So let's have some fun with this. Let us say var my value equals Bob. All right, and then let's do this. We'll use another keyword called the type of operator, which will tell us what the data type of my value is. All right, so you'll see this in just a moment. Let's go ahead and double click our example. And you can see that the data type is string. So By initializing our variable to a literal string, the data type automatically becomes type string. Let's go ahead and comment that out and then try another example. Now let's rerun our application. And the second data type is a data type number. So we now can create strings and numbers. And notice that numbers have no double quotes around them. If we were to add double quotes around them, it's no longer a number data type, it's rather a string data type. And that's probably not what we want. So numbers can be added together, but if we were to try to add strings together, that's called concatenation. We will get vastly different results if we were to do something like this. Let's go ahead and comment that out. All right, so you can see I'm creating two variables, both of type number, because I don't add double quotes around the values that I'm assigning to the variables, and then I'm adding those two values together using the addition operator. And then I want to display the result in an alert box. So let's go ahead, and you can see that the result is 3.26. One other note, I can remove the 0.12 off of the end and just use whole numbers. And JavaScript doesn't have a problem with that. You see some strange rounding situation there, but otherwise, no issues. However, if we were to make these into strings by adding double quotes around them, what will the result be? 3.14, 3. The 3 is this value here. So it treats my value and other value as string. It concatenates the two together. It basically just adds the number 3 to the very end of this literal string of characters. All right, so let's comment all that out. Let's get back to the matter at hand here. The other data type that we can use is a Boolean. And that's a true or false value. Let's go ahead and refresh. Type is Boolean. We can set it either to true or to false. All right, but what if we were to set it to anything at all? What would the data type be if we just declared the variable but we never assigned it a value? It would be undefined. And undefined is basically a variable that we just simply don't know what the data type is nor what its value is set to. All right, and just to kind of drive this thought home, what if we were to start off with assigning our variable to a literal string using the double quotation marks, but then at some point reassigning its value to a numerical value? Let's see what happens. You can see that the type changes based on the value inside of the variable. So, you know, this would never work. This example would never work in a language like C sharp without some type coercion going on. However, in JavaScript, that's just how the language works. Okay? All right, so let's move on. Now, I already said a moment ago that a semicolon at the end of a statement is the end of statement operator. It completes a thought, but not everything you throw at JavaScript will be considered a complete thought, only statements. And statements are made up of expressions, and expressions are made up of one or more operators and operands. So these are the syntax rules of JavaScript, and most programming languages have similar kinds of rules. So you can't just do something like this. Now, if you were to do something like that line of code, JavaScript might just ignore it. It might not throw an error. It might just do nothing at all. But JavaScript will be thinking to itself, "What do you want me to do with this?" It's a useless statement. It's not made up of operators and operands. An operand is anything that we give a name to, like a function name or a variable name, or some sort of value, in this case, a number, in this case, a literal string, in this case, a Boolean value. And operators are things like keywords. They're like the assignment operator, the addition or concatenation operator, depending on its context, the end of line character, and so on. So statements in JavaScript have to actually do something. A properly formed statement will either declare, initialize, or assign a value to a variable, or retrieve a value, like we saw earlier, or it will call some sort of built-in or custom function, or it will evaluate a value against some other value to determine equality, like we did with our if statement back in lesson number two, and so on. And so operators and operands. We've already seen several operators at work. We pointed them out, like the assignment operator we've used here. This type of looks like a keyword, but it's actually an operator, and there's a bunch of others. For example, let's go back to some other operators that you're probably very familiar with. So let's go var sum value equals 5, and then let's go sum value equals 5 plus 7. So we're using the addition operator there. Sum value equals 5 minus 7, so that's a subtraction operator. Sum value equals 5 times 7, the multiplication operator. Sum value equals 5 divided by 7, so that is the division operator. Here is an increment operator, so using two pluses next to each other will take the current value of some value and then add one to it. Similarly, we can have the decrement operator, two minus signs next to each other. And we can use some shortcut syntax. So, something like the increment operator, we can take the value of some value and then add 7 to it. So, this is roughly the equivalent of doing this line of code. Equals sum value plus 7. We're just able to shorten it with this syntax, okay? And the same would be true of minus equal. Times equal. Divided by, then equal, and so on. All right, moving on, and I realize at this point this example is not going to work. We'll probably have to comment out a lot of this code to actually get it to run. We've already talked about string concatenation. Let me just kind of make sure that we're on the same page there. Concatenation, okay. So here we're going to go sum value equals Bob plus. So the context determines what this operator will do, whether it'll be math for an addition or string concatenation, where we'll actually append strings together. In this case, I'm appending together the literal string Bob plus an empty character plus Tabor. All right. We already took a look at this, where we're able to take Bob plus, or actually, I don't think we did this. Let's do this. What happens in this case where we're taking something that's defined as a literal string and using the concatenation or the addition operator to a numeric value? Which will it be? A string or a mathematical operator, or concatenation or a addition operator? Let's do this. Let's get rid of some stuff here. I'm going to use that mass comment out, multi-line comment character, to just comment out all this code we wrote prior to that. Let's go var some value, and here, alert. Some value. Let's see what happens here. Refresh. All right, notice what it does. It treats 3.14 as a string and concatenates the two together. So there's some coercion going on to say, well, since we can't add the number Bob to the number 3.14, what we can do is change 3.14 to become a string. Maybe that's what the programmer wanted us to do. And so JavaScript then concatenates, coerces 3.14 into a string, and then appends them together. Okay. All right, so we've already talked about keywords, special keywords in the JavaScript language like var, and we've seen other ones like the if, and we'll get to some of the other ones later. There's also several built-in functions and methods. We've talked about the alert function. And notice every time that we call a function, we use an opening and closing parenthesis. Now, why is that? It's because those parentheses are operators. They're the function invocation operators. If you attempt to just call alert without that, I'm not even sure it'll work. Let's just try it for fun. Let's see what happens. It might work, but we're not going to get any results that we would expect. All right, it doesn't even work because we didn't invoke the function. We didn't execute the function. In order to execute the function, you have to have the right operators, which are the opening and closing parentheses. We'll talk more about functions and the importance of these parentheses when declaring or defining a custom function as well. All right, so we've covered a couple of the built-in functions so far, like alert and getElementById in one of the previous lessons. We couldn't possibly cover all the built-in functions available in JavaScript in this series, but if you want a reference card or some sort of listing, just go to Bing and search for JavaScript built-in functions, and you'll find many different sites that list dozens of built-in JavaScript functions, and you can learn their capabilities. Many of them are based around mathematical type of functions or dealing with strings like splitting them apart, choosing subsections or substrings from a literal string, and so on. All right. So one last topic before we wrap up, and I want to talk about escaping strings. So what if, for example, we want to do something like this? I want to say my so-called life. All right. What's going to happen here? Well, let's see what happens. All right, nothing at all happens because we have a syntax error. And the syntax error, well, let's let our F12 tools tell us what happened. All right, so we can see that it expected an end-of-line character, and that's not all that helpful, but basically what it's telling us is that it expected this to be one complete string. It would have expected the next character to either be to either try to append something to it or to end the line or whatever the case might be. Now, we intended for this to be one literal string, and in the middle of that literal string to use that character, that double quote character again, so that it prints it off the screen correctly. In order to get this to work correctly, we're going to have to use an escape character, which is the backslash. When I use the backslash in front of the double quote character, in both of these cases, it won't treat them as a double quote, it'll treat them as a literal double quote, so that, if we hopefully do this right, refresh the page, you can see it embeds the double quotes inside correctly. Awesome. And there are some other ways, some other applications of this as well. Let's comment that out and go to the next line. And this time I'm going to create a literal string by using single quotes. Now I recommend that you always use double quotes for literal strings and single quotes whenever you need to pass a value as an argument into a function. Talk more about that later. Doesn't may not mean much to you now, but you can declare a literal string by just using single quote marks. So I could do this. I'm, and I'll come back to that in a moment, pretty sure this will work. Let's go ahead and just get this simple example working. And that works. But what if I wanted to add the single quote into this? And you can see it won't work at all. If we were to go to the script, we would get that same error message. And the reason is because we need to put the backslash single quote. That turns it into a literal single quote, not a literal string operator. Okay, so now this will work. Yep, it does. Great. And one last escape sequence that we can use with literal strings is to use the line feed or the return character. So slash R, or backslash R is the return character, and that's roughly equivalent to the new line character, so slash N. And we'll see the results of this. Let's refresh one more time. Bob was here. It put each word on a separate line because of the escape, the return escape sequence, or the new line escape sequence, which in this particular case is roughly the same. All right, so I think that's enough for this lesson. In this lesson, to recap, we talked about declaring variables and initializing their values. We talked about the data types that are inferred for your variables based on the data that is currently inside of that variable. We talked about a variable just being a space in the computer's memory where we can store stuff and retrieve it at some later time. We looked at what happens when you don't have anything inside of a variable. It becomes undefined. We don't know its type and we don't know its value, right? Then we talked about the various simple data types, string, number, Boolean, also the undefined data type, if that's truly a data type. We'll learn about some other more complicated data types like object, function, which is really object, and array, which is really object, okay, a little bit later on. We talked about the various operators and looked through just quite a few of them, the mathematical operators, some of the string operators. We looked at escape sequences. We talked about how to write properly formed JavaScript, expressions, make up statements, and an expression is a combination of operators and operands. We said operators are things that have names like our variable, or they have values like our literal strings or our numerical values. And then the operators are all those other things that we kind of glue those together with. And together they form complete thoughts or complete statements inside of JavaScript. All right, so that's enough for this lesson. We'll see you in the next one. You're doing great. Hang in there. Thank you. Mm-hmm.